Getting a flu shot is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy this year. Flu shots are available and free to University of Alabama students at sites across campus and at the UA Student Health Center and Pharmacy. Check out our schedule at cchs.ua.edu/flu shot. Call 205-348-6262 for a flu shot appointment at the Student Health Center, or walk up Monday through Friday from 4 to 4:45 p.m.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
If you've been listening to our show, last week we did do a rerun. Womp womp. We were not on the radio.
That, you know, but sometimes our information is so good, it just has to be repeated.
It has to be played again, because yes. If you didn't know, you can actually go listen to our show's archived voices.
Yes. voices.ua.edu.
That's right. Yes. And you can listen to all of our shows that we've had in the past, and we've had a lot of guests, and we've had a lot of different co-hosts, and we've it's been all over the place. So if you ever want to go down a trip down memory lane, then voices.ua.edu.
Yes. Okay, I have to take a moment and recognize the fact I am so grateful that this is a radio show instead of a television show, because so this week went to the dentist for a little toothache. I thought, you know, maybe it's just, you know, worst that could happen would be a root canal.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, I had bets with my husband. Uh-huh. Oh, no, homegirl is going to have a tooth taken out and an implant done. I'm going to literally have, like, a hole, like, in my smile.
Are you serious?
Yeah, somewhere between 2 months to 6 months.
You know what? Yeah. Face masks are popular.
Yes, they are.
Thank you, COVID. So you know what? You just pop a little face. Is it like one of your front teeth?
Thankfully not. It's okay. It's in the back, but towards the front. So enough for me to feel really weird when I am giving presentations, and probably the way I smile. So I'm just literally going to be smirking for like all of like 2023 and through the holidays.
Oh, man.
As
well. Well, and we'll just insert here that dental care is very important in your health and wellness routine.
And apparently, yeah, my family has really terrible genetics when it comes to some dental stuff.
I think that might be something that is an Asian culture, actually.
Really?
Teeth. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I really do, because Jason's the same way, and his mom is the same way, being Vietnamese, and we always kind of joke about it, but I think it's actually a thing in Asian culture.
I don't know, maybe we
should look it up.
We might need to, because I was complaining to my brother about it, and he's like, I had to have a crown last fall.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so
very interesting.
Anyway, so next time you see Whitney, I will have a little gap.
Well, it's okay.
Be okay. We'll embrace it. Maybe make it part of my Christmas card.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. I love getting your Christmas cards, by the way. They're awesome. But yeah, we have a great show today. We do have a guest that we're going to be bringing in that you guys have heard on the radio show before. And so we'll get into that a little bit later. But Sheena, I have to talk about, we got our student life newsletter this week, and it was just glowing all about Sheena. And I would just sit there and I got to know you even better. But it really kind of made me stop and think when I was reading your questions and answers and the bio. I was like, man, you've done a lot here at the university.
I have. You know, they had asked the question about, you know, what all you've done.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally I always just say like, oh, I've been in this position for 14 years. Mm-hmm. But then I forget about all the things I dabbled in.
Right.
As a student. So, you know, when I think about being a hall director and an RA and an Avanti. But I did enjoy being a football recruitment hostess. It was during the Shula years. Mm-hmm, one thing I did want to elaborate on in the newsletter, but thought it would just be way too long of a story, is I actually hosted, there was a player named Andre Smith.
Uh-huh.
And so he ended up going to the NFL. He was one of our big recruits. Well, that same visit was when Tim Tebow came.
Oh.
And so we were playing Florida. Tyrone Prothro broke his leg.
Yeah, all these different things. All the things.
But I sat directly behind Tim Tebow. And, like, I touched his hair because I was like, this person is going to be famous one day. And my boyfriend at the time was like, what are you doing? I was like, this person's going to be famous. Yeah. I want to tell people in the future, like, I touched his hair. But fun fact about Tim Tebow is that he was born in the Philippines because his parents were missionaries in the Philippines whenever he was born. And so I had talked to his mom and I had made this joke about how her son was like more Filipino than I was because he was born there.
That's funny.
She was not necessarily amused, but I can just say
I think
that
it's
I
hilarious.
Said that,
so, yeah. Yeah. Wow, anyways. That's a really cool moment. So you touched his hair.
I did.
I guess you never washed that hand again.
I mean, you know, COVID got me to wash
yeah,
my
COVID
hands.
Got you to wash it. So
I've seen him other times. I wanted to say I've touched your hair before.
Oh, yeah, because you did see him. Or maybe it was Nika that I'm thinking about. Because she had she like ran up to him. He was in Moore Hall, I think. And she's coming on the show in a few weeks. So maybe we can ask her to replay that story. But anyway.
Yes. So
all the things.
Yes. So before we go on crazy, crazy tangents, y'all, we got to take a break. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to introduce our fabulous guest that is no stranger to the show. But you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And y'all, I almost missed my cue because I was looking at Sheena and I had that like moment where my head was just gone and I thought, do I bring us in? I always bring us in.
No, and then I was
did
like,
you?
Do I bring us
yeah,
in?
Yeah, it was weird.
But I think it's you. I don't know.
It really doesn't yeah. matter. We're here together and tag teaming. So anyway, we have a guest on our show today, and I'm going to introduce Charles Burrows. He's our fitness coordinator over at the Rec Center. And Charles, you've been on the show and a co-host multiple times, so welcome back.
Thank you for having me. It feels like a home.
Aw, it's home.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's home.
And you have, like, such a, like, literally, when you just started talking, you have this, like, radio voice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways. I think part of it might be the allergies. It's actually making my voice lower.
A little lower register. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, yeah. I like it. Anyways.
It's very good. Yeah, and, you know, Charles was on, well, I think you started coming on the show when you first started working here in 2000, when? I don't even remember.
2018. I remember one of my first days back when JJ used to host the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, Charles, I'm going to have you on the show one of
yeah,
these days. Like,
yeah.
First week, I was like, oh gosh, already.
Like, here right. we go.
And you yeah. never knew you were going to be a superstar on Fit
no
to Be Tied.
Yes.
So we kind of look to Charles as our fitness guru. Sheena and I both like to talk about, you know, fun fitness and nutrition things, but Charles has a different point of view and insight. And Charles, just for our listeners, just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you've probably said this multiple times, but we are growing our fan base, I
yeah.
think. And so the new folks need to know about Charles Burrows.
Yeah,
yes.
of course. So I've been working in fitness for about 8 years now. I'm the fitness services coordinator over for University Recreation. My main job and focus is all things personal training. So I oversee the personal training programs that we have to offer. I've been doing that for 4 years now. And then before coming to the university, I worked in corporate wellness for a little bit, kind of focusing more on like getting employees active mm-hmm. and moving. And then before that, I worked at like a little boutique personal training gym, kind of like a diet Equinox,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
Equinox
yeah.
type
yeah.
gym. So something like that. But yeah, it's something I've been doing for a good chunk of my life now, and I love it.
Nice.
I think that's amazing. And, you know, during your time in corporate wellness, I'm actually curious, did you find, and you probably, you know, are doing some of the same things here at UA with our faculty staff, are there certain things that, or incentives that you feel like get folks motivated to be physically active? Like, what's kind of the dangling carrot? Or do you feel like it really is helping them find those, like, intrinsic reasons to do it? You know what I mean?
I wish I could say it was just the intrinsic thing. But you know, for a lot of people, I'm not going to lie, prizes are always great.
Sure.
But even more than that, interdepartmental rivalry.
Ooh.
That worked well. We would do competitions with buildings. So we, on the campus I worked at, we had over 100 buildings because it was a chemical plant. And each building would compete with each other.
Huh.
And so within the building, I'm George and I'm competing with Harry. And so it becomes a lot more interesting that way.
Nice.
Like who's actually competing. So it's
yeah.
not just against,
yeah.
you know, a face you haven't seen. It's someone you actually work with.
It's like bragging rights.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, because wellness does that. Wellness and work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think with what is it, Move Spring? Mm-hmm. Is that a departmental thing or is that individual? I can't remember.
I think you can register for things as a department. Yeah. And then, yeah, you can kind of see like rankings based on departments. So.
I just think back to the days of Mike Brass, who used to be our manager of our fields at the rec center, and how competitive he was about like the steps he took to, I think he like hurt himself because he walked too much. And we're like, Mike, you're going to have to slow it down a little. So there is a little too much competition that, you know, can be had. But yeah, I think that's great. I mean, a little competition.
Yes. There was at one point in time when I was still working in a clinical position at the Student Health Center, I would be in these little Fitbit challenges with some of our nurses and pharmacy staff. And one of the pharmacy techs, she would have her husband join in on our challenges. And it used to make me so mad because this person was a motorcycle cop and Fitbit did not know that the vibration.
Cheater.
It was like 75,000 steps a day. And I was like,
cheater.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
So anyways.
They should have called him out on that.
That would fire me up. So I just had to get that out.
I'm fired up.
Yeah, that's not fair.
You know, that was, yeah. So anyways.
Well, I'm kind of curious, you know, Charles, we work together because, you know, we're in the rec center running programs and all that good stuff. But for our listeners, what interests you the most about personal training and fitness and just what you do at the rec center or just in general?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what got me into fitness initially was the fact that, you know, throughout my childhood and up until college, I wasn't into fitness at all. So mm-hmm. it was something that not only something I wasn't interested in, but really something I didn't think I was capable of. Mm-hmm. I never really thought I could be in shape or that I could, you know, work out effectively or do things well.
Yeah.
And so once I got to college and I realized that's something I could do, I think what interests me about it is the fact that really anyone's able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just a matter of doing it and doing it consistently. And so I think that's what makes me interested in it is that I can help educate people and show them that they're able to do that. And mm-hmm. when you see that little light bulb come on for those mm-hmm. people and they see that for themselves, it's really rewarding.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when you do have that personal experience of knowing how life-changing movement can be and, you know, taking charge of your health, it changes the way that you inspire other people to do the same, because you're really, you can speak from your experience of like, no, mm-hmm. I have been at ground zero where you are at now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this can happen, you know, because I think sometimes a client maybe work with a personal trainer, maybe even a dietitian or whatever, and it's like, well, you don't know, you've not had this struggle. It's like, mm-hmm. actually,
yeah.
I have.
No, I think that's a great point.
Yeah, empathy is a really important part of personal training, and I always encourage our trainers that, I mean, not to go out and purposely be unhealthy, but to really try to put your mind and your head in their shoes and try to experience what they have, because it just makes you so much more effective.
Yeah. What do you do for fun? I mean, you obviously like to work out, and that, I mean, it's so funny. For me, that's kind of fun. Like, I love doing Pilates and yoga. What do you like to do for fun?
I do like anything outdoors, so I love hiking and camping. I'm also a huge space fanatic.
Okay.
Huge.
It's unhealthy. but, in fact, fun space fact for
you. I was about to say, can we have a space fact?
I mean, we need that now.
So if you're listening now, we just passed the point where Jupiter is the closest to Earth that it's been in 62 years, I want to say is the exact number. So if you were lucky enough to be outside Monday night, you would see that Jupiter is pretty big in the sky. In fact, if you had like a telescope or binoculars, you could see the little bands that wrap around it, which is really cool.
I didn't know Jupiter had bands.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not like Saturn rings, but like layers of bands wrapping around it.
That's
really
so cool.
We'll have conversations because, like, I feel like everybody has their own little thing that they like to talk about and they're into or whatever. And back when Ryan Sanders, he was on our manager over Aquatics, was there and our offices were all next to each other, we would have Freaky Fridays. And they would come in my office and I had a whiteboard and we would, like, talk about things like conspiracy theory / space / I would dissect the Bible and talk about, like, this is why this is this way. I mean, it was, like, deep conversation. So we like to... We don't only talk about fitness. We incorporate other aspects of our lives into what we do, which makes it kind of fun.
And Charles, you are also into art as well. Mm-hmm. You do that. Now, have you ever incorporated your love for space and art together?
That is actually what got me kind of back into art. So when we first started quarantining 2 years ago, I started painting again for the first time. And I was like, I'm just going to paint space stuff. Yeah. And so that's actually what got me back into art. So yes, I do try to incorporate it. But I'm also my harshest critic when it comes to my art. So it's almost like I want to avoid the space because if I'm going to do space, I got
to
do it
right. It has to be right. Yeah. The Milky Way has to look right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love, you know, I think it's just any time that we can hear from our guests and, you know, hear about some of the interpersonal workings of you, you know, anything aside from just the professional stuff is really great. And I know that just like our previous guests this semester, we will have a very specific question for you at the end. I'll save that for the end because, you know, I'm actually really curious what your answer is going to be. But I am going to say, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Because we're about to get into the meat and potatoes of things and get into some heavy conversation in a good way. So y'all, grab something to drink, run to the restroom, do what you gotta do. You are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And Charles is back on the show, our resident fitness guru, who we always ask the really deep questions because you have such a good depth of knowledge. He's back. And we have a good little roundtable discussion. Well, we hadn't really even started yet. We've been talking about space, which is pretty important because we got to know like what's out there. So kind of, and this is kind of crazy, but kind of along the same lines in a weird way, and you'll understand in a second, is our topic today with Charles. And when Charles and I have discussions about like anatomy and biomechanics and just how the body works and moves, we kind of get in these really in-depth conversations. And Charles started introducing me to this idea of pain and the physics of the body. So Charles, before I kind of like butcher everything about it, this new concept that you've kind of been diving into and that you've been thinking about and the reading that you've been doing, the physics of pain, like what the heck is that?
Well, I know it sounds like a WWE special or something like that.
It really does. I watch it.
but what we're really talking about is we're talking about the physics of the body in terms of how we move and how our body, I guess, really deals with gravity. So, you know, we have this gravitational force that is constantly pushing down on our body at all times. And so the way that our body deals with that can tell us a lot about a lot of the things that we experience, like pain. And so I guess one way to sort of illustrate this concept or kind of drive home the importance of it, Sheena, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What do you think is the most defining physical trait that separates humans from other animals? So if I'm standing in a line, I got a monkey sitting next to me and a lion and a walrus and a spider, what is the first thing that stands out as me being different other than that I can talk and that I have clothes on?
I mean, I would think maybe just even like stature, like how you are like standing or like holding your body in general, because I think even if I'm thinking of like a human versus like a primate, like even though there's so much similarity, I feel confident enough that like, you know, like standing next to each other, I'd be like, oh, that's a human, just the way that like the body is being carried or like standing in like a standing stature position. I'm losing all technical words.
I
probably gave you a very incorrect answer, but that would be my thought process there.
Actually, you're getting right at what I was getting at. Humans are bipedal. We're on 2 feet. Which means we're standing upright. And the reason that's important to this topic is it means that all of our weight is going straight through our legs. It means that we have a lot of force that is being put on our lower body, on our ankles, on our knees, on our hips. And not only that, but like because we stand upright, it's a lot harder to hold our balance, right? And also our upper body, if we're not doing anything with it, it's kind of useless. Like our legs are doing most of the work when in terms of getting around. And so that is a big part of it, is that because we are having to deal with gravity and because we can't just spread our weight out and, you know, walk on all fours. I mean, you know, we usually don't do that. As a result, we have to deal a lot more with the health of our joints and our ability to carry our bodies.
I'm just thinking about that, and I'm sorry I'm interrupting. I'm just like, I'm geeking out, because for one, I was like, I'm not going to be able to contribute to conversation whatsoever today because I have no idea what we're talking about. But it's funny that you mention what you are mentioning in regards to like us putting all of our weight in our feet. My husband was recently sharing with me, I don't know if he saw this on Reddit, maybe 4chan. It was basically pictures of people's feet of individuals who wear shoes normally and then those in third world countries who do not, and then just the way that like toes are spread out. And he was like, it was just very fascinating. So anyways, I will not interrupt anymore.
No, that's actually a really good point. Yeah. And a topic we could spend hours
on. We could spend so much time on that topic.
But, you know, I like to think of your body as almost like a bridge. You know, when you drive across a bridge, it's not just like a concrete slab across, you know, two bodies of land. It's got all these supporting structures. It's got cables and it's got, you know, things underneath it and above it that all contribute to the structure and hold it in place. Well, you know, in our body, our bones are kind of like that concrete. And then our muscles and our tendons are all the supporting structures that give us that structure. So it's really important that we are addressing those soft structures to make sure they're conditioned and they're strong and that they're holding things together. So that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about the physics of pain. It's the ability of our body to actually hold itself and actually to move effectively.
Yeah, and I think, you know, before we get even more in-depth to that, you know, topic, what got you into it? Because I know, like, you've always been good at working with clients and helping them reach their goals, but this is like an in-depth level. Like, this is correction. So what got you interested in this topic?
I think it was actually my own issues.
Yeah.
You know, in high school, in the span of just 4 years, I tore a ligament in my ankle. I broke my ankle. I sprained both ankles at no less than 5 times. I continually had ankle problems. And then after that, I started having back problems over and over and over again. And there was a period of probably 10 years where I couldn't go a month without pulling my back out. And it felt like at the time that it was just bad genetics or something like that. But I realized the issue was those supporting structures, the soft tissues, the things that are supposed to hold my body in place. We're not conditioned and in the best position to hold things together. So it was my own issue.
Yeah, I feel like your own experiences, at least for you, for sure, and I think most of us can agree that you start to get interested in these topics and do your research because you want to improve your quality of life. And you were in high school when you were feeling these things, and you shouldn't feel these things in high school. You haven't been on this earth long enough to have that much trauma to the body. And so it's interesting that a shift in your physical makeup can cause pain. And that's kind of just for me as a practitioner of Pilates and yoga and the things that I think about and talk about. It's the same concept of it's a mindful connection, and which is what you had. You realized you could correct these things. And so you started to do research and dive in and make these physical changes, and you've alleviated pain. I mean, would you say you're pain-free, or would you say that you still, I mean, it's life, right? Like, we can't be perfect all the time, but I mean, can you tell like a huge difference in your practices?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it went from being once a month to, you know, once a year. So it's not something that is fixed. It is something that I continually address. And I think that's an important aspect of fitness in general, right? We don't just fix something once. We don't just lose 50 pounds and then like, oh, it's back to normal life.
Right.
We've got to make these changes and establish this new, you know, pattern of behavior in order for it to be effective.
Now,
absolutely.
When you've been doing your research on this, is there a lot of literature that's out there, or do you feel like in some ways this is kind of an untapped topic that, you know, there are some, you know, practitioners within this industry that have heavily looked at it, but it hasn't been mainstream enough where, you know, it's part of like normal protocol where personal trainers are getting this as part of like their standard education whenever they're getting their certifications. Like what, like I didn't know how intentional you had to be with like finding this type of information.
Sure. You've got to be pretty intentional actually. I think there's a disconnect right now because this is, it's very simple because it's really just based on literally like physics. Like how is our body holding itself together and dealing with gravity?
Yeah.
And I think up to this point, the fitness industry hasn't really dealt with that very well and understood it. So there are some pretty new research You know, one book I just finished reading not too long ago called Symmetry by Patrick Mummey. It's awesome. He really dives into it. It's a topic that's talked about some in like physical therapy, mm-hmm. But it still has a lot left to be done to really kind of drive it home and take it from just a clinical setting to making it more fitness-minded and more mainstream.
Yeah, and the frustrating part for people like us that work with people all the time or trying to make these corrections is it's kind of like Pilates. Pilates can heal you in a lot of ways. Yoga can heal you in a lot of ways. The correction movements and exercises that Charles does can help you, but they're not viewed by people in the same way. People, we're mm-hmm. still on that Western side of, you know, thinking about healthcare where it's like you go to a physical therapist or a doctor and they're going to treat just that one thing. They're not mm-hmm. going to take the time to say, oh, well, let me send you to this person. Maybe physical therapy, they will. But we talk about like whenever Charles decides to leave, you know, the rec and go on to his next thing. If he ever wanted a job really working with people and analyzing this and correcting it, there's not a lot of that in Alabama. It's yeah. It's the same thing with Pilates, trying to get someone on a reformer and be like, no, these movements will correct you and help you. It's hard. The way the fitness industry is, it's that area is untapped. It's just now kind of like starting to emerge.
No, and I love that because I think that, yeah, when we're thinking about like healthcare as a whole and even something like this, you know, so many times we're just so reactive in the things yes. that we do, and this is certainly mm-hmm. more proactive. And so, I mean, the fact that we're getting to talk about this today, like I'm again just geeking out about it, and I know that we have, you know, even more to talk about the practical aspects of it, but let's take a break, you guys. Sit back, relax, grab something to drink. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and I feel like I should do an infomercial and say, are you in pain? Well, we have the ticket, you know, because we are talking about the physics of pain, and when you think about the human body and how our muscles and bones all work as pulley systems and react, it's super important to make sure that you're lined up and you're correct, and that's why we have Charles here to kind of help us think that way. So, Charles, we left our conversation before the break kind of talking about how you got into this and your own experiences, but I want to know in your eyes what we're doing wrong, like just our bodies, like in general, when you have somebody come up to you off the street or you're walking down the street mm-hmm. and you see somebody moving, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah, so that's a very fair question. I would say largely what we're doing wrong. Words are hard. I would say largely what we're doing wrong is it's going to have to do with how our body is moving, which is a lot of times we're compensating. Mm-hmm. So we've developed these imbalances where muscles on one side of our body are stronger and being used more than the other side. And that starts to change our posture. And that becomes an issue because all of a sudden we got one part of that bridge pulling harder than the other side. Mm-hmm. So what good posture is and what good movement or even exercise, good form is our ability to balance that pulling on both sides of our body so that we're dealing with gravity as equally and as efficiently as possible. So we're not having too much stress on the knees or the elbows mm-hmm. or the neck. Everything is being evenly distributed. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing wrong right now is more than likely we are compensating in some way. Mm-hmm. We have some sort of dysfunction in our movement. And as a result, it is starting to cause pain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the biggest causes of that is sitting. Sitting is one of the biggest reasons that we start to experience all these postural issues, mm-hmm. right? If we're designed to deal with gravity, to walk, to run, and to stand, the worst thing that we could do is spend 90% of the day gravity just pushing on us in a seated position.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about the spine just then and like the bones of the spine and the structure of the spine and how it's designed to take a load. And your lumbar spine, the reason why it has a lordotic curve, which just means that the curve is going forward rather than backwards, is it's designed to take pressure. And it's designed the way the discs are, and it's thicker at that part of your spine. It's designed to, when you're standing up straight and everything is in line in the right order, you have that curve because it takes the extra intensity off of the gravity pushing down. And I was just thinking as we sit here, I was like, and I've said a lot today, wow, my low back is not super comfortable. Like, I am not in a lordotic curve. In fact, I'm pushing my spine the opposite way, so it's not doing what it's supposed to do. I know it's like a super in-depth thing to think about, and that's what how I think, but like, Charles, with you, the people that you work with, and when you're trying to get them into these different postures and stuff, like, what do you do to address this?
Well, for them specifically, shout out to personal training. Having someone that is a professional and knows what they're doing can make this process a lot easier because they can identify exactly what's wrong. Mm-hmm. In those situations, what we want to do is we want to loosen and relax those muscles that are overbearing and that are kind of taking over and pulling you one way. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to strengthen those muscles that are right now overstretched and inhibited, not being used. Mm-hmm. So in a very basic sense, from a personal training standpoint, that's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. So we want to strengthen, that's what's weak and stretched, and loosen out and stretch what's over tight. Mm-hmm. Now for just someone off the street, what they can do is they can start moving their body more in every possible way our body can move. Mm-hmm. That's bending, that's squatting, it's twisting, pulling, pushing, all these movements. A lot of times in the gym, we get really kind of, we almost forget that fitness is outside of the gym, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We start thinking about looking a certain way or lifting a certain amount of weight. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking about all these movements and muscles that we actually have, we just focus on those glamour muscles that look good.
Yeah.
We focus on those big exercises that we always do, and we end up neglecting these entire movements. So even people in the gym every day, they develop these imbalances because they don't actually move their body every which way it can go.
It's so funny, again, Whitney's going off in, like, Whitney world and, like, her head. But I think me and you and Michaela were having the conversation one day about how, like, everybody wants to lift heavy weights. Mm-hmm. They want to do these really, like, heavy exercises, and not to say any of that's bad, but you have to be really careful because you have to think, yes, you're strengthening your bones, yes, you're strengthening your muscles, but you also have joints. And a lot of times those joints, they can't take the load, or you're gonna have an injury at some point. And so I think that's kind of the misconception we have about exercising is, yeah, we have the media and everything and like social media and stuff that, you know, you want to look a certain way. A lot of times it's just kind of genetically people have those certain looks. But you don't want to be putting too much stress and load on your body. Stress and load is good at some point, but it also can cause injury. And in what we're talking about today, we need things to line up right and to take less pressure off of things in the body. And if you're doing those exercises and you don't have good posture or misalignments, you're really going to hurt yourself.
And Charles, I know you mentioned, working with a personal trainer can really help with this. From your research, have you incorporated some of this information into the professional development sessions that you do for your staff? Have there been practical ways that you found to incorporate it? Or maybe it's just something that you are interested in and planning on doing maybe in the future?
No, we have actually. Yeah. Something that I've started doing this semester, we did back before COVID and just got back to it, is this thing called trainer talks. And so once a month, the trainers will gather in the PT studio and we'll all just show up in our workout clothes, just very relaxed atmosphere. And we pick a topic and we just dive into it and get into all the nitty gritty details. So just this past Sunday, actually, we all gathered to talk about foam rolling and myofascial release. And that is actually a big part of this corrective component to what we're talking about today, is using myofascial release to help release those muscles and those structures that are just really tight. So it's something that we do implement with our staff because, to be honest, certification doesn't teach a whole lot about this.
Yeah.
It's something you really got to search out and find yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm curious too, like talking about the myofascial part of it, and you already talked about like strengthening and correcting. What kind of resources? So like, there's two questions I have. If you're a personal trainer and if you're a fitness person, what resources would you recommend to them to increase their knowledge on this topic? Or if you're just like, just walking down the street, just a normal general person, what would be the first step? Like, what type of resources would you recommend?
Fair. So I would say for personal trainers, that one's a little easier because they're, so Justin Price he is a guru on this topic. He's very knowledgeable and he's done a lot of the research that currently exists.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a great accent because he's from Australia.
Yeah, nice. Can't beat it.
But he has a certification through ACE, the American Council of Exercise, and it's called the the biomechanics method. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a really awesome certification. So any of you fitness professionals out there interested in this topic, look him up. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say for the average person, you could also look these people up.
Yeah.
That would be one manner of doing it. And another part is just trying to be more intentional with how you're moving.
Sure.
I think that a lot of people will find that the more they exercise, that the more that they move and they start to develop that mind-body connection, mm-hmm. That they'll start to, that if they are intentional on finding all these movements, or excuse me, trying to do all these movements, mm-hmm. That's really the best method here, because mm-hmm. it is really hard to correct some of these things by yourself. Mm-hmm. But things that I'd recommend is, you know, if you have a certain lifestyle, you sit a lot, look up things that have to do with sitting a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of muscles are typically tight when you sit mm-hmm. a lot? Those kinds of inquiries can help you along the way. It's just kind of taking bits and pieces and looking those up one at a time. But I would say in general, just trying to move your body in as many planes as possible. Mm-hmm. So maybe the best thing the average person could do is look up movement planes.
Yeah.
And then find exercises that fall in those planes.
I like how just practical that is. So, mm-hmm. you know, you talked yeah. about what to look for. And then also for us to just be more intentional with observing, like, how we're feeling, the things that we mm-hmm. feel, and actually documenting it. Because I think even when I just think about from a nutrition perspective, if someone's going to see a dietitian, it's like, oh, what did you eat last night? Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to take me a little bit to, like, mm-hmm. think, like, oh, what all did I eat yesterday? But if you're actually documenting mm-hmm. it, you can share some of that information because you wrote it down in real time versus having to think about things in hindsight. So that's really good practical information and recommendation to tell people, like, hey, if you're on this in mm-hmm. this purpose of trying to make this be practical, document it.
It is kind of simple. It really is simple. And I mean, because my head just went to when you said if you sit a lot, and I'm like, that's like so easy because you mm-hmm. you know you sit a lot, because people don't know where to start with the resources and what to look up. You could say, I sit a lot, Google help. and then they'd probably say, do these stretches. So I think that's very, very helpful.
Absolutely. Well, Charles, I know I said earlier we got to have you for our last segment because we have a question to ask you. So we're going to leave this cliffhanger. You guys, we will be back. You are listening to Fit to Be Time with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back, and hopefully we have solved all of your pain issues, because all you got to do is start moving. But I will say that is very true, because if I sit at my desk for too long, I feel awful, and you have to make yourself get up and move. So keep that in mind. Physical activity can be your best friend. Okay, Charles. Thank you for being on our show, and
yes.
thank you for, you know, enlightening us with your methods of correction for clients and just giving us resources. But we have a question to ask you, we already know a little bit about you, so I don't know where this will go, because I feel like we already know maybe how you would answer it. But last time you were on the show, we asked you what you do for self-care. This time, we want to know what hypes you up, what pumps you up, like just in general, whether it's before a workout or going to work or when you just are feeling good. Like, what do you do to get, like, pumped up?
Yeah, what gets you hyped?
What gets you hyped?
What gets me hyped?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So, for example, Sheena is listening. Hers is listening to NSYNC mm-hmm. in the car with her boys and teaching them the songs, right?
Yes, yes.
I think mine was dancing and listening yes. to music, which has been very consistent among our guests. But what gets you pumped?
Oof, let's see. Okay. So there's a few things.
Okay.
I got a repertoire, you know, a library of things I can resort
yeah,
to.
Yeah, okay.
So one would be 90s hip-hop.
Okay.
Whether
okay.
it's the Notorious B.I.G., Tupac, yes. Gangstar, I mean, the list goes on. That's one. Also, I've got some, like, kind of more hard rock music.
Okay.
Really just the screamo, sure. the kind of stuff that's over
sure.
the top.
Yeah.
That can also really do it. And then also, like, motivational speeches.
Okay.
Okay.
Who?
So, Dave Goggins.
Okay.
You've heard me talk uh-huh. about Dave Goggins uh-huh. before, probably. He's this ultra marathoner, ex-Navy SEAL, special ops, Marine, crazy guy. And his whole thing is about grit. And like this, this concept of like grit is like a muscle you gotta flex and work on. After I read his book, I started running every morning at 6 a.m. in the dead of winter. And it's just that stuff hypes me up.
That's awesome.
He's so motivating. I will warn you, he's got a very dirty mouth. Every other word's a cuss word, but
sometimes you need it.
But it gets you hype. Okay. Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Yes. And I mean, just to give you frame of reference, so we actually, and I was going to mention this ahead of time, we had a guest who, and I'm probably going to mention this every show.
That's what I was thinking. This is going to be something we mention every time.
She said that what gets her hype is like a good plan for the day.
Like a good organized plan.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which sounds a little bit like Dee, our old fitness coordinator, because Dee was that way, but yes, it was the best.
I mean, I would feel that way too, you know, just thinking like, oh my gosh, I've got my to-do list. Mm-hmm. I'm going to accomplish this. I've got a plan to do it. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah, I'm going to be productive today.
Yeah. And then all you do is put on some Tupac and you're good to go.
Yes, yeah. I know. Well, and it almost makes me think, and maybe this is the question that we ask folks next semester, but like going to the football, not the football games, but baseball games, like what's your walkout music? Like I feel like there's so many different songs that I thought like, oh, if I was about to be the next batter, like what's my walkout music?
You all have a song.
Well, when you said it, I was like, well, what would my song be? And I think I'd really have to, like, think this through. But I always love the little Nelly, like, intro, swing, bada, bada, swing. That one, like, I always, like, love that. I think it was on the whatever album. But, like, in my head, that's what it goes to. But do you have one?
You're going to laugh at this.
Okay.
Despacito.
Are you serious?
That song gets me hyped.
You're like
pumped
about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like I'm playing in my head right now and I'm like kind
of. It's a pretty good vibe. It's like very chill. What would yours be?
So there's this song by the Black Eyed Peas. And so one of the, and one of the members of the Black Eyed Peas is part Filipino.
That's right.
And so there's like a chorus part where it goes, Filipino.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I feel like I would just need to do that for like props to my culture.
Love it.
But then also, you know, you've got your classics like, you know, like Notorious B.I.G. stuff, like Hypnotize. Like, I feel like that's a popular one.
This could be really good. Maybe this should be an addendum to our what gets you hyped.
Yes.
So this could be our two-part question of what gets you hyped. And if they happen to answer with like with music or anything, then we can say, well, what would be, I mean, our guest that that wanted to plan things on her planner, she might not have gotten that question.
Yeah.
But maybe we should bring her back and then
I mean, we might need to. But y'all, great show. As always, Charles, thank you once again for sharing your wisdom with us. Y'all have a fabulous week. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.